everyone, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
And in this episode, we went to the movies.
We did. This is a remakes episode, and I think people are going to call us disingenuous for calling it a remakes episode, because it very much is two adaptations of the same source material, where one of them is a much more faithful adaptation of the source material than the other.
So, we are covering off 1987's The Running Man and 2025's The Running Man.
Yes, we have been to see The Running Man.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, he runs.
Mm.
And he's a man.
Yep. The end. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting comparison because we have chosen to do this as a remakes episode and not as just two movies with the same plot. Honestly, this is probably one of the most different set of movies that we've covered on the podcast. But I just want to clarify that, like, I mean, we had planned it as a remakes episode before we went to see the new movie. Obviously, it was only released this week in New Zealand. When this episode is released, it won't even have been out for a full week in New Zealand yet.
Yeah.
But it was based on, like, a whole lot of media around the fact that someone had asked Edgar Wright on Twitter at some point what movie he'd most like to remake, and he said The Running Man, and now he's made The Running Man.
Yeah.
So if Edgar Wright has in any way sees this as a remake, and there are homages to the 1987 film,
including the fact that
Arnie's on the money. But it definitely is a wildly different film.
I want to get into the differences first.
Which is all the movie.
Yes, and no. The worlds they're built around are quite different, and I found the 2025 movie so unbelievably layered, it was insane. Like, it's got a high 6 from critics. It's not, like, a great movie, but it's very fascinating because it is very much the sign of the times that we're in now. And it's sort of a commentary, but it also portrays television as a really evil thing.
Mm.
And it's so, like, interestingly done because I could see if you were a director and as well renowned as Edgar Wright getting a lot of backlash from within his own community.
His own industry.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you're saying this as if that's one of the differences. That is one of the areas where these are most similar.
No.
Because the original is also very much about this dystopia where media runs everything, essentially. Yes. And what I found really interesting watching the 1987 one is, you know, people like to rag on early sci-fi or older sci-fi for, like, putting things in the future and then having them be entirely wrong.
Yeah.
But this movie was set in 2017, 30 years in the future at the time it was made, and the most sinister thing in it is deepfakes.
Yeah.
Which was real technology by 2017. Not necessarily fantastic by 2017, but it was happening in 2017.
Yeah.
And by 2025, it is a real significant problem in the world.
What I find fascinating, so here's my difference, right? Here's the thing that I was going for.
Yeah.
The 2025 one just looks like the current late stage capitalism dystopian path we're currently on.
Yep.
Where you're not only that corporations become so powerful that basically they write their own laws.
Mm-hmm.
And these TV shows are very much the opiate of the masses to keep the masses controlled by propelling these ideals of, you know, criminal scumbags being tortured and killed with ultra violence as a form of entertainment. What was the difference between what I saw in 2025's version versus 87 is there is no explanation of why the world is basically apocalyptic. It is just like, there are, so the whole premise is Arnie plays a military pilot, the butcher of, what was he, the butcher of something?
Bakersville, I think?
Yeah, so basically he's in a he's a pilot of a tech helicopter, and is ordered to shoot civilians, and he's like, no, they're unarmored, and then unarmed, and the crew attack him, and then they use footage to make him look like he's the one who killed them all, and he goes to jail, and then there's capital punishment because the network exec is like, we need somebody with like, someone who's going to go the distance on our game show to... And then he's escaped from prison, and they end up recapturing him, and then they subject him to this game show, which is basically like a ultra-violent version of Takeshi's Castle, with all sorts of like over-the-top heroes, and it is very much like what I said earlier, the opiate of the masses, is because everyone's, you know, even though it's ultra-violence, and you're literally watching basically like a very similar way of sort of UFC, WWF, like professional wrestling mixed with like stage acting.
Oh yeah, it was definitely
over the top, like weaponry.
Influenced by gladiators.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Gladiators as well. And the other side of it with the 2025, it's very much like Big Brother. Everybody's watching you. You cannot escape. You cannot get off the grid. And I feel like 87 is just, it's got like a post-apocalyptic-y dystopian, like, that's sort of like, you know, the fact that he's like, oh, I want to speak to the president. No, better yet, I want to speak to his agent. Being that, like, the president's no longer elected based on democracy is more of like a publicity contest, which I guess is how we're looking now. It's just, it was just so fascinating, the layers in the 2025 one, because it just, as you said, it was, you know, the fact they're using like video footage editing and AI to like make the people say whatever they want to do. And you sort of get this more wholesome character with Ben Richards in the 2025 one, because he's just a guy who's been blackballed because he's reported health and safety violations. He's got a kid who's sick, he's got a wife, and he wants to try out to try and get this, and it's like, do whatever game show you end up on, don't be the running man, and it's just like, of course he has to become the running man.
I have several points that I didn't want to interrupt your flow. One is that, I know you were talking about the president having an agent and like, oh, this is, you know, their idea of a dystopia. You have to remember, this was made in 1987. Do you know who was president in 1987?
Ronald Reagan, the actor.
as referenced in Back to the Future.
Which we just watched for the 40th anniversary.
Yeah. So it makes perfect sense that during the Reagan presidency, that is something that they're looking at, going like, well, this is what the future of presidents looks like. They have their agent, and they're appearing on television all the time. Which, again, is a point that Doc Brown makes in 1955. The other thing I was going to say is that you were talking about the 2025 one being kind of more up-to-date and more in line with how things are currently going.
Yeah.
The 2025 one, have you read the book? Because
no.
You've read Stephen King books. I haven't, but I have gone through a whole plot summary of this to see how much it sticks to the book. It very closely sticks to the book, which was written in 1982.
Yeah.
so that was still predicted in the 80s and is accurate to now. And that's, yeah. I mean, and you were talking about Big Brother, which was also from a book that was well before that kind of stuff actually was happening to the degree that it's happening now. So I do think obviously Edgar Wright is going to have modernized it and really played into the angle of like, hey, this is where our society is going right now. But it does, from what I can tell, stick really closely to the book, actually, for the most part, which is interesting.
Was, I can't remember what era was Stephen King's cocaine era. I don't think it was early 80s. I think it was late 80s where he's just written a bunch of books he doesn't remember writing.
Well, this one he didn't write as himself.
Oh, so it's pre-cocaine era.
Yeah, he it was under a pseudonym. No, apparently he said he was a heavy cocaine user between 1978 and 1986. So this is solidly mid-cocaine era.
Fun fact, Stephen King did so much cocaine, he doesn't remember writing a bunch of books.
But this one was written under the pseudonym Richard Bachman.
Oh, okay. Ben Richards.
Yeah, Ben Richards. Yeah. Richards lives. Yeah, so quite a lot of the Edgar Wright version is just, like, faithfully adapted from the book, which is fun.
The next part I want to say is, if you have interest in watching this movie, 87, you've had plenty of time, for this one, I wouldn't say stop now, but possibly stop now if you don't want to have, like, massive spoilers.
Yeah, I think we'll have to get into spoilers.
Yeah, because there's no way to touch this movie without spoilers.
Yeah. Okay, so before we get into spoilers, just generally speaking, what did you think of the movie and would you recommend people watch it?
Yes. If you're into sort of a social commentary, you're into science fiction, you're into sort of like that over-the-top almost 80s like action hero movie, I think it's perfect because it is a modernization of that old 80s sci-fi. The one thing I want to say before I lose my train of thought, talking of spoilers, dear God, did I hate the trailers before we watched the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't even remember what they were for, but we literally watched a whole movie. I hate trailers nowadays.
Yeah.
It really upsets me. There is, by the way, I'm just going to say this right now, right? There is a movie adaptation of a book that I really love being made. And that book is Project Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I think the book is amazing. I think the movie looks like it's going to be very good. I think no one should watch the trailer because the first, like, minute and a half of the trailer, really good trailer, and then it's like, oh, let me spoil all of the important twists from the book. Yeah, it's like, why have you done this? Did you do that?
We watched a trailer for the sequel to Five Nights at Freddy's, and it basically showed us the entire movie. There was so much of the new Avatar movie spoiled in the trailer. Like, a ridiculous amount. Like, they had full, like, sequences in it.
Yeah, but also those don't really have any kind of originality of plot to begin with.
True, but...
like, I feel like you just tell me that the new Avatar movie is about fire and I could probably write the plot. I could probably wake up at 2 a.m. and write down the plot and it would be accurate.
I don't even remember what the other trailer we watched was. Because I think there was 4.
I think there was a couple of, like, weird horror ones. I don't know why they thought... because I don't think Running Man is horror by any manner of means.
I will actually also say one thing. Is it Glenn Powell? Guy Powell?
Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell, I'm going to ad-lib the quote. I'm glad a everyday guy like me gets to be... who's a character actor, gets roles... And spoiler alert for the movie.
Also, I don't remember the exact quote, but I believe he was saying that the reason the people like him get roles now is thanks to Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
So that even is wilder.
There's a sequence in this movie where he is naked. He is not an everyman. He looks like he wakes up and eats protein powder for breakfast and spends 8 hours in the gym. I couldn't get over
it. The guy has a jaw that's about 6 feet wide.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm going to disguise myself. And he just puts on a shitty wig and a mustache. And I'm like, dude, like, literally you were the most recognizable man.
There was a very Edgar Wright moment in the movie where there's a sign, his wanted poster behind him.
That's fun. And it's like facing forward and then he turns his head and it goes to profile. Yeah. And then, That's just good Edgar Wright editing. That's just fun.
He is as every man as Arnie was in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And there are, definitely are movies where we're supposed to believe Arnie is an everyman, and you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way. It's just a regular exec. This is what they look like, guys.
Remember, you're my favorite customer.
You're my favorite customer.
I can't wait to watch that again. I was gonna
spoil something.
Okay.
I won't do that. Glenn Powell, here's what I have to say about this movie in regards to Glenn Powell. If you have seen the movie Hitman, you have seen Glenn Powell's entire performance in this movie.
So there were some sequences.
I think that's what it's called, Hitman. Yeah.
There's some sequences in this movie, in the 2025 one, where he's trying to act. And there's a sequence where when he's saying goodbye to his wife, and he's like leaning on a door frame, and he does like the scowl and the look down and the look up into her eyes. And it is like play for play, hammy, over the top, like this is like entry level acting of like, I changed my facial expression to show how I'm feeling.
I think though that Edgar Wright knew what he was doing casting.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I think Edgar Wright, because literally apparently Edgar Wright said, because I genuinely believe if you have seen the movie Hitman, you have seen his entire performance in this movie. Edgar Wright convinced Stephen King that he was the right casting choice by saying, you gotta watch Hitman.
Yeah.
This is just this guy doing this same movie. just watch him do it, and then we'll just copy paste.
So the thing is that like when he's doing his crazy like I'm a man on the run anti-establishment like rants into, because like the whole premise is they have to like record themselves so they can't just like bury themselves in the woods. Turns out again, like I said, spoilers. It's the way they track them because they have to drop a case that's untraceable every day, so that therefore they know where they're going, so there's no way to actually get away. It's very funny to me that when he's doing his like, haha, I survived, bitches, kind of moment, great acting. Mm. But when he's trying to be all like, I'm doing this for my family and my sick child.
I don't
child.
Believe at any moment that man cares about his family. Also, like, they just made him so unsympathetic. Yeah. I felt like, because with Arnie, they changed the plot, obviously. Also, both of them changed the character in that I think he's described as scrawny and with tuberculosis in the book.
Right.
That's neither of these men. But at least with Arnie, they were like, yeah, he's a military guy, but he has boundaries, and he knows right from wrong, and he won't kill innocent people or unarmed people, you know, whatever. And it's like, that's supposed to be your way into sympathizing for him. With Ben Richards, with Glenn Powell's Ben Richards in the 2025 one, it's like, the sympathetic angle is literally just, he has a child.
Yeah.
that's it. So they don't rely on him to do any kind of acting to be sympathetic.
Sick child.
Yeah, he has a child who has the flu. And then like literally the reason that Arnie's Ben Richards gets put in Running Man is because he like helps orchestrate this prison break, and they watch this footage and they're like, oh, this guy's got what it takes.
Yeah.
The reason Glenn Powell's Ben Richards gets put in that, like, gets, like, kind of flagged for it, it's just that he's angry. They're just like, you're the angriest man I've ever seen. Ha ha! Love Angry Man. Yeah, put Angry Man in show. Angry.
There's also a really fun montage of him doing, like, training exercises, but then it's like a jump cut to him, like, doing it in real world.
Yeah.
And, like, all of his previous, like, corpo shitty
Yeah, they
jobs.
They do a Slumdog Millionaire for, like, a minute.
Yeah.
Have you seen Slumdog Millionaire?
When it came out.
Okay, I was going to say, does that reference even make any sense to you? For people who haven't seen Slumdog Millionaire, the whole premise is this, like, scrawny Indian kid gets on who wants to be a millionaire, and he knows the answer to every question because of the journey it took him to get there.
Yeah.
That's literally the premise of it. So, like, every time he gets asked a question, you get to see, like, what part of his journey gave him the answer to that question. And that's literally the Glenn Powell tryout for all the game shows is him, like, whatever trial they have to do, he's done it in his past life and he just reenacts that moment or whatever.
I really liked a lot of the side characters in it, in this movie. Like, the side characters, other than, like, the gladiators in the 87 version and, like, the host of the show, his two, like, friends are just the guys he escaped prison with, who one was a teacher and the other one's, like, an anarchist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, they're kind of just, like, oh, and the love interest, which was bananas, because it's just, like, oh, here's a girl he kidnapped to try and help him get to Hawaii, and then she, like, dobbed him in, and it's just, like, oh, no, she was a elitist, you know, had a bunch of contraband stuff and blah, 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 so I'm going to throw her in there as well.
No, they threw her in there because she almost uncovered the truth.
Yeah, yeah,
because
they edited the footage.
She saw that they edited the footage, or that they lied about what happened when she was actually with him, and then she was like, oh, maybe they lied about why he was in prison in the first place, and then went to find the footage. And that was why they were like, no, we need to, like, spin it so that she's also bad, so that people won't believe her if she comes out and says this shit.
Yeah. That's the point I was making. But, yep, you said it way more eloquently than I did.
And that character, or a version of that character, exists in the other one as well, but she's, like, way towards the end.
Yeah.
And she's played by Ella Jones's daughter, whose name I can't remember. Amelia Jones?
Maybe.
She was the main actress in Coda, which is a good movie. Anyway.
You've got Jesse Ventura playing Captain Freedom, which feels very on the nose. And then you've got, like, these weird gladiators that pull up, and they literally pull people out of the audience to, like,
choose
them. And you get a Japanese, like, sumo wrestler, but he's really into ice hockey, and his weapon is, like, a razor blade ice hockey stick. And something that happened quite early on in that sequence, when they, like, meet up and have a fight on an ice rink. So confusing, because if the audience pick who they're doing, were they already going to go through an ice rink? You know, just seems coincidental. It seems very strange, like, because, like, you're exactly like you said, like, gladiators, right? They're, like, hyped up, they're, like, national heroes. We're in the 2025 one that feels more like ICE. It feels more like a shadow government agency going in and taking people out. Yeah,
also, I do want to touch on the fact that we've talked multiple times about different actual real-life game shows or reality shows that the 1987 one is like.
Yeah.
And there is one that the 2025 one is like, and it's a show that we watched the Australian version of, and I love it, and it's called
Hunted.
I was going to say Hunters, and then I was like, that's what it's called, Hunted. Yeah. And it's wonderful, and people should watch that. It's very fun.
Yeah.
Except that in the actual one, in the real world, they don't get killed. Yeah. They just have to,
hunted,
like,
extreme.
They just have to get, like, stay in hiding for 3 weeks and then make it to a getaway vehicle.
Yeah, and some people have. The issue that we both had, and it came up in the sequence where I'm talking about the ice rink and the sumo wrestler ice hockey guy.
Yeah.
Arnie has been given a shotgun blast of one-liners for this movie.
Oh my god.
And some of them are delivered with comedic effect. Not as in they're supposed to be funny, but they come off as funny.
Yeah.
Obviously spoilers for, you know, the 87 one, but like I said earlier, you've had plenty of time. He cuts them in half.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what was his name like? It was, like, ridiculous.
Professor something.
Yeah, it was, like, Professor... Hang on, I'm going to find it, because it's absolutely...
The real wrestler who played him is called Professor or something, or The Professor, so...
It's not Buzzsaw, because he was a guy who did chainsaws.
Yeah.
Professor... Sub-Zero.
Oh, yeah, Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero, and then they're like, where's Sub-Zero? And because he cut... Well, no, did you say Buzzsaw? He was like... He had to split... And it'd be like, after he cut him in half with a chainsaw.
Right.
And like...
Oh, was it Buzzsaw? I don't even remember who he cut in half.
He cut somebody in half.
He cut somebody in half.
Yeah. It's so So weird. So weird. The fact that Mike Fleetwood...
Mick Fleetwood just plays himself.
Yeah, he plays himself.
But, like, as, like, a resistance guy.
Yeah, which is super weird. It's such a... And there's just, like, certain... Like, Jesse Ventura, fantastic, right? He's... But, like...
Oh, he garroted Sub-Zero with a wire...
Yeah.
...fence thing. And then I can't remember what...
He said some cheesy...
Something to do with fences, was it? I don't remember. It was, no, a fence or something like that. Was that right? Something so stupid that I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. It's just... It's so weird that the dialogue was literally like, oh, yeah, and then one-liner, oh, yeah, one-liner, oh, yeah, one-liner, oh, yeah, one-liner. And it's just like... The reason that Arnie's good in movies, in action movies, is he doesn't speak a lot.
Right.
And that's what makes him iconic, because you just like, you know, it's that whole Owen Wilson, how much dollars per wow. and it's just making
Do you think this is why they cast him in Batman and Robin? They were like, oh, this guy can deliver shitty puns.
Batman and Robin and Mr. Freeze is like the worst. That is by far the worst Batman movie.
Yeah, oh, 100%. But people love
it, but like, it's awful.
But my point is, did they just watch him give all these terrible one-liner puns in this movie and go, oh, that's our guy.
Yeah, that's
our guy. Or did they cast him and then go, oh, wait, I've seen him do these terrible one-liner puns before.
Because, like, Victor Freeze is not Arnie by any means.
No, they were like, any of the characters Arnie plays. This guy is supposed to have tuberculosis.
Everything has tuberculosis.
And, like, the guy in his character in Total Recall was supposed to be, like, an accountant or some shit.
No, what?
Wasn't it? I can't remember.
Total Recall. He's, like, a construction worker.
That was written for Arnie to explain why he had muscles.
Yeah.
The actual guy was, like, a scrawny accountant. In the book.
Yeah.
And then, that's what I'm saying, is that, like, Arnie gets them to rewrite backstories of characters to be like, yeah, and that's why he's got muscles. Don't question it.
You have to. You couldn't be just like, oh, yeah, this is, like, that's not, that's less believable. But you
could just cast him in roles that make sense.
But then we wouldn't have great movies. Great Arnie movies.
You'd still have, like, Predator, Commando. Like, those make sense. For Arnie.
Terminator. Yeah.
Like, those are Arnie movies where that's the guy it makes sense to cast. If your source material says this guy is scrawny, poor nerd living in the slums with his sick kid, and he's got tuberculosis, and you're like, I know who to cast, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, but like...
Why does that happen?
It's the same thing they do for animated dubs of, like, Japanese movies. They put famous actors as the characters in it because it's trying to bring an audience
in. Do you know what really annoys me? They cast Christian Bale as Howl in Howl's Moving Castle. And in the books, Howl is Welsh. And Christian Bale is Welsh. And in the movie, he does an American accent. Why? Just let him be Welsh.
Yeah, but you've heard the original, like, Shrek dialogue, right? Maybe that was the problem. Maybe there's an unreleased Christian Bale
Christian Bale as Welsh Howl.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, they did, for the Miyazaki film, they did, change... I mean, we did a whole Howl's Moving Castle episode.
Yeah.
But they did change it from... He travels to Wales to see his sister and his nephews playing rugby, to he travels to an alternate war dimension where he's fighting World War II forever or something.
Yeah. Anyway, back to my original point. Josh Brolin's in the new one. Josh Brolin's fantastic. William H. Macy's fantastic. Michael Cera is fantastic.
Michael Cera is so funny. His
mum character?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Katie O'Brien. Yeah, Katie O'Brien's great. It's such a fun movie.
I need to see more Katie O'Brien films to see if she's ever not just like a pumped up on steroids lesbian in anything. She's in Twisters with Glenn Powell apparently, so maybe we need to watch Twisters. And see if
that's a sequel, right? We can't do that for the podcast.
No, it's a sequel.
Doesn't it have the same plot?
I have no idea. Genuinely, I have no idea. But we should just, in our spare time, watch Twisters to see if, A, Katie O'Brien is a steroid, is a roided up lesbian, and B, if Glenn Powell is just the same character again.
Yeah. Because he comes off as the same character in the trailer of Twisters that I saw.
Yeah, yeah. And he's definitely... I've seen him in a couple of other movies. I mean, obviously we saw Top Gun Maverick, and I have no recollection of him even being in it. He was so unmemorable.
Yeah.
But I saw... I think I watched them both on a plane. Hitman and... there's some, like, rom-com he's in with... I think with Sydney Sweeney. I don't know. People will know what I'm talking about. But, like, he's just some guy. He's just the same guy in everything. He's just a generic guy.
I'm just looking through his I was going to say backstory.
You're going through his backstory?
Yeah. He's in The Dark Knight Rises.
As who?
Traitor One.
Traitor One?
Traitor.
Oh, Traitor. I don't... That's just, like, no one.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in Hidden Figures? Oh, he was an astronaut. I do actually remember him. He was an astronaut in Hidden Figures. I genuinely do actually remember that. But that's, like, a small role, considering it's about, like, the black women who worked as manual calculators for the space missions.
Yeah.
What is the name of the... Dang. Oh, yeah. We should watch Chad Powers, whatever that is, because I think there's, like, two of them in it, and they try to make him ugly. And that Chad sounds fun. Chad
Powers.
Anyone But You. That's the rom-com that he was in.
Chad Powers. When was this?
2025. It's a TV series.
Oh, okay. I was looking at filmography.
Yeah. I don't know. Weird. I don't know what it is, but there's two of them on the poster. Two identities, one icon, zero shame. Or maybe it's one guy and he puts on a prosthetic nose to be an ugly guy. I don't know.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
It looks weird. It's definitely like it's definitely reading like this is. My immediate thought is, they were trying to make Glenn Powell look less like generic handsome man printed out of a machine, and to do so they were like, how do we make someone ugly? And then they let like an anti-Semitic person make the decision.
Yeah.
And they said like I mean, are you looking at this poster? Am I wrong?
I saw the poster, yeah.
That's literally, they were like, okay. Yeah, I don't know. The guy. I just feel like he doesn't do anything.
What guy?
Sorry. I meant Glenn Powell, and by do anything, I mean act. I genuinely, I said this to you, I think, at like 11 o'clock last night. I was like, I've come up with a new conspiracy theory.
Oh my god, that Glenn Powell's AI.
I think Glenn Powell is AI. This is my conspiracy theory. I've got two. It's joining my other favorite conspiracy theory, which is that Tommy Wiseau is D.B. Cooper. So Tommy Wiseau is D.B. Cooper. Though apparently, actually, that's been debunked recently because Tommy Wiseau lost a lawsuit against people who wanted to make a movie about his life, which means that for the first time ever, his date of birth and place of birth are now public information because of this lawsuit that he lost. So Tommy Wiseau was in fact too young to be D.B. Cooper, which makes me very sad because that was my favorite conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
But I've replaced it. Oh no, actually I've got another one, which is that Avril Lavigne died in the 2000s and was replaced by a lady named Melissa. But my other new favorite one is one I've made up in the past 24 hours, which is that Glenn Powell is not real. Glenn Powell is an AI actor, evidenced by the fact that A, he looks like if you rolled every like generically handsome actor into one and were like, make a handsome guy out of this. And two, he literally doesn't really do any emoting. I've seen like clips of like people trying to use AI actors, and they seem to really not understand what emoting is, and they go and their two states are like blank stare trying to mimic an emotion, or extreme rage, which is literally his two states in this movie, right?
Yeah.
That's all he does for the entire movie. So you heard it here first. Glenn Fowle is AI.
So
has anyone seen him in real life? Have you seen him in real life? I've never seen Glenn Fowle in real life. I've seen Sam Rockwell in real life. He's a real guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam Rockwell, real guy. Glenn Fowle, AI. That's my AI.
Anyway, moving on to a great actor who's actually in this movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Arnie.
Lee Pace, he's not a... What's the word? It's not a recognizable name to most people, but you...
You have seen Lee Pace in something.
Yes. He, for example, he is Theandrel in the Hobbit series.
What did you literally just say his name was?
It's T-H-R-A-N-D... Yeah.
What did you say?
I don't know.
Thranduil. Thank you. I was like, excuse me, what is this word you're saying?
He's also...
In the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Correct. As?
I don't remember his name. He's like a... I was going to say a frost giant. That's not actually what he is. Oh, he's blue. He's a blue guy.
So he's an avatar. He's an
RV. No, he's a blue guy in the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
He's got blue... He's in like the Avengers 2012.
No, he's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
And then he plays two characters, I think. I'm mixing his character up with the character that Alexis Denisov plays.
Possibly. Or he plays Captain two Marvel characters. He's in Captain Marvel and he's in Rowan. He plays Rowan the Accuser in Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, that's a character from the first movie. First one he's in is the 2012 Avengers movie, right?
No, in 2012 he was in Lincoln, Twilight, Breaking Dawn... And The Hobbit.
I genuinely thought character... Listen, he is blue though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not like losing my mind.
He's got like weird paint on him and he's wearing like a... How do you not... You've seen Guardians.
Yeah, I know.
He's the one with the power stone. He puts it in the hammer and then he has a dance off. Yeah,
I've seen all of these movies... a long time ago. I've fallen out with the MCU in recent years, so it's been a little while. Yeah, he's a blue guy!
Yeah. Anyway, not in 2012, he wasn't blue.
Not in 2012, he wasn't, I guess. Okay. I'm combining characters. I think I'm combining his character with the character that Alexis Denisov plays in the MCU, because I think he is in... Or is he... No, you said he's definitely not credited there. I was going to say, maybe he's in, like, the end credit sequence or something for it. No, I am definitely not thinking of a character Alexis Denisov plays in the MCU. Jesus, that is an entirely different person. Okay, anyway, I don't know.
His performance
he's in also the movie in is Pushing fantastic. Daisies.
Yes.
Pushing Daisies, which
in
is great.
In the movie that we're talking about, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Even though that, spoilers, 90% of the time, you don't see his face.
Mm. I mean, he has, I will say... If you know Lee Pace and you have seen other things he's in, you possibly will recognize him because the man has very distinct eyebrows. It's like if you put Zachary Quinto in a mask, you'd be like, because you see his eyebrows over them.
Yeah.
Not all the time because he's often wearing glasses, but like when he's not wearing the glasses, you can see his eyebrows and you're like, okay, that's Lee Pace, his eyebrows. And if it was Zachary Quinto, you'd think the same thing.
Michael Cera's great in this movie.
Yeah. Colman Domingo?
Yes.
Yeah, he's very fun in it.
Yeah, Colman Domingo was fun in this movie too.
And his character and Josh Brolin's character were combined into the TV host / exec from the original, but they are supposed to be two separate characters. And I think that works, and it works really well in this one, having like the puppet master pulling the strings being a different guy to the face of the network actually sees, because there very much is this undercurrent of like, hey, we're looking at what we're being shown on the screen, we need to be looking at the people behind, we need to look at this, these are the execs that you need to be paying attention to, and paying attention to where the money comes from and what the money's used for and what else they're doing, and you know, etc, etc, what they're not showing you, what they're doing to our environment to do this stuff.
I think my favorite dig was at the Kardashians.
That's very funny, yeah.
Because there's an ongoing show of just vapid, pointless individuals called the Americanos.
Yeah, the Americanos.
And it just, like, jumps to, like, multiple sequence with just being like, you're wearing my shoes. Give me back my shoes. You stink feet. You stink feet on my shoes.
And also the lady that he kidnaps in this one, he kidnaps her because she's, like, driving, like, the fanciest car and it's, like, blaring the music yeah. from this reality show. and that he recognizes because he's been watching it in all the, like, hotel rooms and stuff he's been in.
That was a very fun movie. I definitely recommend watching it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I think we should move on from where we've been going to another track.
Yep.
Which is...
jumping onto trains.
That definitely does happen. Because they both, obviously, this 2025 one's not set now, but, you know, as you mentioned earlier, the original 87 one is... set in 2017.
And the book is set in 2025.
Yeah. How, other than the AI stuff and the deep fakes, how else in this movie does the 87 in the book really portray, like, this era of time to you? Because, like, I see a lot of similarities of just, like, the fact that entertainment has become such a drug that... we no longer pay attention to anything anymore.
Yeah, I think also... sort
of resurgence of anti-intellectualism.
Yeah, and the prevalence of reality TV and game shows and stuff, which weren't really a thing at the time that these were made.
Yeah.
I mean...
because there was a lot of dating shows in the 70s and stuff. And that sort of... but, yeah, I wonder what the first reality TV show that was super popular was.
Probably the Gong Show or something with them, Chuck Barris.
Yeah, maybe.
But the first, like, modern era one might have been Fear Factor or Survivor. Those were around the same time, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think, also, definitely, there's a, you know, the whole... you know, media controlling your access to knowledge. Though I think they obviously didn't really, you know, in the... I don't know, because they do, it is in the book that they can, like, record you. People can record you and report it.
Yeah.
Which means that he did, like, Stephen King did have an awareness of, like, we are going to have portable devices that people can do this with in the future. But I don't think the 1987 one does that. Yeah, because they don't let them out into the world. They have them in this kind of arena thing.
Yeah. It doesn't look like an arena like a stadium. It looks like an arena like the Badlands of town, sort of like outside the wall dread style. It's like just random roaming gangs of people on motorcycles. And apparently they're also their network equipment is inside the arena. Which becomes, like, a whole plot point of, like, how they were going to, like, take over the network's equipment.
Yeah, well, I think this is the thing, is that, like, the network owns everything. It's like Idiocracy, you know, where it's all owned by the one corporation or whatever.
So, according to searching for it, so some of the things that popularized reality TV... was Candid Camera from 1948.
Wow.
An American Family, which was a fly on the wall thing from 1973. The Real World from 1992. And Survivor from 2000.
Yeah. See, I thought Survivor was one of the first, like, big ones of the modern era.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you've got, like, The Bachelor and Big Brother and, like, Love Island and all the other garbo that we have now. And I think the Osbournes probably also did that weird thing where they became, you saw behind the scenes of everything. And then, was of that, course, that's like...
there was also, before that maybe, was it The Simple Life?
I think there were maybe.
Who was that? Jessica Simpson and Nicole Richie or whatever? Is that a...
Paris Hilton.
Oh, Paris Hilton. I literally couldn't remember. I knew they're all... Those people are all kind of in the same blob to me.
The same blob.
Paris Hilton. Yeah. People who were very, like, famous because of who they were related to.
Yeah, nepotism.
Yeah. Well, it's not nepotism because they're not getting, like, jobs in... what their parents were doing. They just, like, had a lot of money and decided to make TV shows about themselves.
They were around the same era. Simple Life is from 2023 to 27 on the Osborne... What?
2023?
Sorry, 2003
to 2007. I like, you said to 2027. I was like, oh my God, you're predicting the future.
And the Osbournes was from 2002 to 2005.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it was that very era of the early 2000s. Yeah. I remember being obsessed with Big Brother. I remember watching seasons of Survivor.
Survivor was big.
Yeah.
And it's still going, I believe. Survivor is like...
So endless. Yeah, I think they're permanently in Fiji now because, like, I think, like, the budget issues of, like, going to, like, sub-Saharan Africa and stuff were probably really expensive to film in. Everyone talked about, like, a New Zealand Survivor, and I was like, no, they would actually die here.
I want to pitch a TV show.
Go on.
It's Survivor, except it's not reality TV. It's a fake reality TV show set in the universe of Jurassic Park.
Sorry, I was just like, for the silence there, folks, I was just trying to picture this. So you're saying...
I'm saying, like, you so create a TV show...
It's a sub-reality, so it's set in...
So it's like a TV show for the people living in the actual universe of Jurassic Park, but it's Survivor, where they send the contestants to, like, one of the islands that all the dinosaurs are on.
It's Survivor, but instead of getting voted off the island, they just get fed to a T-Rex.
No, they can still get voted off the island, but, like, the trials and stuff, the, like, stuff that they have to do is, around, like, there is
Survivors.
Risk of dinosaur
Previously, deaths. Red Team had one of their players eaten by a velociraptor.
Will they, who will be voted out, or will they be given an immunity to grieve their loss? Anyway, sorry. I just suddenly thought of that, and I was like, I would watch that show. I'd watch it. I think that's great. Anyway, so Running Man. I mean, obviously, well, no, if it was real and people were actually dying, I wouldn't watch Running Man. But I do watch the actual show that is basically Running Man, but without the horrible consequences. Hunted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've already talked about this. You're like, what are you talking about? Hunted. Hunted is great. For people who don't know Hunted, it started as a UK show. We have mainly watched the Australian version, and in the Australian version, a group of people are let off the back of a truck in the middle of Melbourne. And
they're off a bus on the first one, and then they're off a boat on the second one.
Oh, right, okay. Off a vehicle of some description.
They all have partners.
Yeah, they're in pairs. It's normally like a couple or best friends or like an auntie and niece combo or whatever. And they are released in one spot, and as soon as they're released, this team of hunters who are like Secret Service. No, secret... I can't think of the word.
They're sort of like... Seems to be like a mixture of backgrounds, but they're like could be currently police, could be currently DPS.
Yeah.
Definitely ex-military, possibly like bounty hunters, but not like...
I think the main guy is like ex-MI5 or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then they have a bunch of like weird people in their office.
Yeah, so they
are like the IT group and then the CCTV guy and they're like...
So they have like a control point where they have like people doing research, people looking for cameras, people doing like the psychology of these people, and then they have ground teams, which are also in pairs, who get to go out from vehicles and try to find these people. And like when they're released, they're given the details of like the hunter team are given the details of like this is where they've been released from, and that's like their first moment to try and catch them because everyone disperses and they have to evade capture for 21 days. And then on the 20th day, they have to make a phone call to a particular number, and when they call that number, they're given a location and a time for the next day that they need to get to the vehicle that's going to be their getaway vehicle. But when they make that phone call, their location is released to the hunters. But, like, the whole time before that, they're, like, trying all these different tactics to, you know, hide out somewhere or get off the grid or use, like, networks and connections. And at the same time, the hunters are trying to identify who they are, what their connection is to each other, what kind of networks they'll be relying on to try and figure out, like, what way these people are going to go based on this kind of stuff. And it's really interesting. It's very fun.
It's really played off in the 2025 movie because, as you said, like, they're like different people from different places all going in these groups for Hunted. And you do sort of get those people who sort of nonchalant, don't actually know what they're doing, and they get caught very quickly.
Yeah.
Which is how, was it the Prophet? What was the guy that picked them up? Because there's a guy who picks them up in, when he's, like, escaped the first time, and he's got, like, homemade VCR.
Yeah, there's a guy who's doing, like, a podcast, basically.
Yeah, like a YouTube channel. Like,
Here's the Truth of the...
Yeah. And...
The Running Man.
He explains is the reason they pick three archetypes is you get the guy who, like, flirts with... Which I found very interesting because it looked like Joey... Oh, not Joey... Luigi Mangione, there were certain sequences of, like, him flirting with the staff, and I was like, I've seen this before, where was it? And I'm like, oh my god, it's the CCTV footage of when they arrested him.
Yeah.
The person who's gonna go out in a big bang, like, gonna, you know, show it up and, like, have a massive party, and the person who's actually gonna go the distance. And it's very funny to me because, like, as you mentioned in Hunted, there were just, like, people that are, like... not cut out for the sort of task they're taken on, but enough that they'll, like, survive the first couple of hours, maybe, to get enough B-roll footage to put, like, the beginning episodes together.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like one of the ladies, like, sprains her ankle, like, 5 minutes after the getting off the bus in the first season and is instantly, like, taken out.
No.
And then my favorite sequence is, like, they're running across roads looking at the helicopter that's chasing them. It's like, go into a parking, like, go do something, like...
I think my favorite contestant that we watched on Hunted was the guy, there was a guy...
Who had hit in the drag race?
That stuff was... I think it was... One of those guys. The guy that, like, when he was surviving later on, he ended up winning.
Yeah, he died in a helicopter.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who, like, at one point when they had escaped and they were, like, in an area, he was, like, mimicking what the hunters are like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he had watched the previous seasons of the show so rigorously that he was like, and they'll be going like this. And and it's like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. Just by way of, like, really researching it, which is fun.
My favorite is the person who just escaped by joining a drag parade.
Yeah.
And they're just like, look for anybody who's in drag. Like, they're everywhere.
Yeah. And there was also one where, like, they went and hung out with some friends and took a photo to send to the hunters of, like, this is what I'm wearing, and then changed clothes with their friend and left them with, like, the mask and the clothes and left, and then the hunters get this person and they're like, where's this guy? And they're like, who? I don't know.
Do you know there's a very famous bank robbery that happened of a guy who put out a wanted ad, and he was like, you have to be wearing a high-vis, a hard hat, and, like, denim, and be at this, like, outside on this corner of this road at this exact time for the job interview, and he robbed a bank dressed exactly the same way he'd put in, and then, like, just bolted, and they never got him. I think they caught him later, but, like, it was, like, brilliant, because then the cops arrive, and they're like, what's the description? He's like, he's wearing a hard hat and a safety vest and jeans, and it's just, like, they pull around the corner, and there's, like, 50 people, and they're like, oh my god! There was a guy who stole prosthetic masks because he worked in a film, like a back of that, like a back of that office thing. And he robbed a couple of banks. Like, he was a white dude, but he had, like, an African American mask.
Oh. And
convincingly did it like an older African-American man, got away with it, but the problem was is he didn't disguise his car and used his own personal car. Oh,
idiot.
Yeah, idiot.
I would say that's the thing that, like, gets me in Hunted is, like, when, because they're always tracking CCTV, and there was one, and it might have been that same, no, it was a different one per guy, I think. Maybe it was that same guy. I think that one guy was just, like, really obsessed with Hunted, which is fun. Because he seemed like he was real casual and then was like, whatever.
Yeah.
But then, like, knew what they were doing. I don't remember if it was him or if it was a different guy who, like, got the other person they were with to park several blocks away from where they were going. And then, like, walked to, like, a place where they needed to use the ATM because they knew that their card was going to be tracked. And then got the money and then just sprinted in a different direction, did, like, a loop around and then got into the car.
Yeah.
So that, like, they wouldn't be able to track on CCTV to figure out what car they were in. By the time they'd managed to track it all, he'd be long gone. Mm. And that's what you need to do if you're using a vehicle or whatever. Obviously, in Running Man 2025... he gets into a vehicle while he's being followed by drones and they immediately have all the information about the lady and within seconds have deepfaked a video of her being held hostage.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, all right.
It's so funny because, like, it's a really shocking... like, because it's like the doing stuff when you're like, as the audience, you're like, oh no, that's evil. And then you're like, oh, that's happening now. Like,
yeah.
Sort of like the comeback to crashing reality of like, oh, oh no.
Yeah, I think the moment when Michael Cera's mother wants to call the hunters on him and let them know where he is, and he's like, they will come here indiscriminately. They will shoot. They don't care who's here. And that's very much happening around the world with, you know, certain things that are happening.
Yeah. And it's also the fact that we're getting to a point where you can't trust social media.
Yeah.
Because so much of it is AI generated.
Yep.
And you can't trust social media because there are people trying to build division between everybody. You have, you know, this sort of argument of like, and it's very flip-floppy because we have, and it doesn't matter for this country or which is New Zealand versus what's happening in the States, what's happening in the UK, what's happening in a lot of countries at the moment. You sort of go, oh, I'm not happy with what's happening now, I'm going to vote for the other side. And the other side get in and do the same terrible job the other side was doing.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, everything is getting worse very slowly, and so slowly that you don't really notice how much worse it's getting. And it's always like, oh, well, you know, we inherited this from the previous government who were terrible. And it's like, well, hang on a second. I'm pretty sure we're all going in the same direction. It's just, like, you tell it to us in a different way. Mm. With New Zealand's current political party, it's very much like, it's poor people's fault that we're going down the toilet.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, with the other side get in, it's like, well, it's rich people's fault that we're going down the toilet. It's like, well, who... when you play Follow the Money, which is my favourite game, you go, oh... who votes for these? Oh, you get people with lower income vote this way. People with higher income vote this way. So, of course, they're going to blame the opposite side.
Yeah, and that's also why their party base. Yeah, people like, I can't remember the guy's name, which is probably just as well because I don't want to be done for libel or slander.
Allegedly.
But it's in his campaign material. The guy who was running in our... I was going to say district, that's not the right word.
Oh, whatever. For mayor. The guy who wanted to run...
No, he wasn't actually running for mayor. He's running for our ward.
Right.
To be a city councillor who was running on... his whole campaign was just that people who rent shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Yeah.
he's like, students... are transients. Renters are transients.
Yeah.
They're not going to be here in 10 years. They shouldn't have a say in our politics. sisters. Like, what
Which
do you
is
mean?
Such a toxic mindset, because then you're like, oh, cool, let's make... Like, I even hate the term landlord.
Yeah.
Because it is such an archaic UK term of being like, I am the lord of this land, and literally you... Your kids and your grandkids all belong to me because I own the land you live on.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have rights now. As homeowners, like, yes, we'd still have a vote, but, like, this concept of being like, oh, you're just punished, like, does that mean that people who own multiple houses get more votes?
I mean, they currently do.
Yeah.
Literally, I believe this is correct. In New Zealand, currently, if someone owns property in multiple districts or wards, they get a vote in each of those.
Yeah. But it's not
For like local stuff. So don't get like 3 votes for president.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that they owned like...
Sorry, I just turned New Zealand into a republic. There is no president.
Yeah.
I meant they don't get like 3 votes for national, like fully national voting. But for like local voting, they can vote in each of those local elections.
So if you own 70 houses on one street, would that mean you get 70 votes?
No.
Because it's the people that live in the house.
No, but you would get a vote there, though.
Yeah.
But if you owned a house in every ward or every district in New Zealand,
you would get
all of those votes, and you could vote in every local election.
Here's another interesting one for you. There was a thought process recently about lowering the voting age.
Yeah, do it.
And the argument from the people who are 16, 17, is like, I don't get to pick who's going to be in charge of my country when I join the workforce, and that doesn't seem fair.
Yep.
And, of course, because we're very centralist in New Zealand, we don't actually have we do have an extreme right and an extreme left party, but, like, they're not the main parties. The left-leaning centralists are like, yes, that's a good idea, because they'll vote for us. And they'll vote for our people that we also go into coalitions with. And the centrist right are like, don't let them vote. In fact, let's raise the voting age to, like, 50.
It's so stupid. Because here's the thing. The argument against is always like, oh, but they're too young and they don't know politics and then they don't know who to vote for. Let me tell you, I was a 16-year-old who wanted to vote and was waiting. I registered to vote as soon as I turned 18 so I could vote, like, immediately. People who don't give a shit about voting don't register to vote or don't go vote. In New Zealand, you have to register to vote.
Yeah.
But they don't go voting. Whereas, like, you know, all that would happen is there would be, like, a small percentage of 16 and 17 year olds who are really clued in on politics and really interested who would go and vote.
Yeah.
Because the ones who don't know anything about politics or don't care about politics are not going to bother voting.
Yeah.
They're literally not going to bother. So it's not... there's no negative to it.
What was the statistics of our mayoral and our...
It was like 40% or something of eligible people voted. I think we should do what they do in Australia. So in Australia and New Zealand, for people who don't know, Australia and New Zealand both have rules that are, I think, wild to people outside of these countries, but are also opposite of each other. In New Zealand, it is mandatory to register to vote if you're eligible to vote, but you don't have to vote. Whereas in Australia, if you register to vote, it is mandatory that you do vote.
Yeah.
I think mandatory voting is great, and I've seen so many arguments against it from particularly Americans who are like, but then you're just going to punish all these people who can't vote. And it's like, no, actually, if you make it mandatory to vote, then the government has to make voting accessible to everyone.
Yeah, and what I saw during this current previous election cycle of the United States was really terrible. There was a charity that was set up. We're talking about people, you know, the accessibility of voting, right?
Yeah.
There was a charity set up that would go out to Native American reservations and pick up people and bring them in for voting.
And you, in Australia, you have to do that.
And the worst part about all that is then there were people at the voting stations accusing the Native Americans of being illegal immigrants.
Oh my god.
And trying to blockade them from being able to vote.
Oh my god.
And screaming, go back to your own country.
Yeah, they're in their country. That's still stupid. Anyway, I find that I genuinely, as an immigrant to New Zealand, and this was the first, our most recent election, the first election I've gotten to vote in here, and I was very excited about it, even though the candidates were mostly pure garbage. I find it, I come from Ireland, which is better than America in terms of voting, but I find it incredible how accessible voting is here.
Yeah.
Like, it is so stunning to me. In Ireland, especially when I was in college or university, I knew so many people who wanted to vote and couldn't vote because in Ireland, you have to vote at your registered polling station.
Yeah.
And students often will move to a city to go to university or college, and are only there for 4 or 5 days a week, but their primary residential address is still their parents' home.
Mm.
And then they would put the vote on a Thursday. You have to vote in person between, 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. on a Thursday. So there's no way for these students to get back to their polling station to vote and then get back to a class in a city 2 hours away.
Yeah.
It's just not possible. So they don't get to vote. In New Zealand, when there's a polling date, you can vote for 2 weeks before it.
Yep.
And there are boxes for you to put your ballots in at supermarkets, at libraries, any public building, or not any public building, but government-owned public buildings, the majority of them. You can just walk into them and put your thing in a ballot box. And like I said, supermarkets, a whole lot of other buildings that, are places that a lot of people congregate in or go to.
Yep.
They have markings on the road indicating where the nearest one is, arrows pointing to where your nearest place to vote is. They're all over the city. You don't need to vote. Not only do you not need to vote in a specific polling station, you don't even need to vote in your specific ward. You can go to whatever one is closest to where you work or to where you live or to where you shop and just be like, oh yeah, put my thing in there. Also, one of the first jobs I had in New Zealand was in a call center calling people to let them know that they could vote 2 weeks in advance. And we got to call people who were living overseas to say, here's how you vote from overseas.
Yeah.
I can't vote at this stage I'm a permanent resident here, but even when I was temporarily here first, I couldn't vote in elections in Ireland. You can't vote in elections in Ireland from overseas unless you are a diplomat and you have diplomatic papers.
Right.
You just can't do it. To the point that there was a huge drive when we had our referendum on same-sex marriage. There was literally a whole movement called Home to Vote,
yeah,
where people were paying into funds and things for people to travel from, the States and Canada and Australia, New Zealand, all over the world, back to Ireland to vote in that referendum because it was so important. Because there was no option for them to vote abroad. And you can do postal voting in Ireland only if you have registered specifically for postal voting and proved that you are not able to access your polling station in person. You have to be, severely disabled or in a home that you're not allowed to leave or whatever.
Right.
And you have to go through a whole registration process to be able to do postal voting. Anyone in New Zealand can do postal voting.
Yeah.
And also, if you have forgotten to register to vote on time to get your polling papers in New Zealand, you can go to specific locations on the day of the vote and do a special vote.
Yeah.
And so long as you're in the queue before a certain time, you get to have your vote. Even if you have moved home and you forgot to register for your new ward or whatever, you can just go there on the day and be like, I'm doing my special vote. It's incredible. It's mind blowing to me. And then there's countries in the world where they're trying to make it more difficult for people to vote. And it's so stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's been a whole tangent that's not really related to these movies. Except that it is, because this, especially the 2025 one, is very much about controlling populations, and that they have these people living in with excess and wealth, and it's indicated with this lady I can't remember the character's name, but the lady he kidnaps, or not kidnaps, but like that he gets in her car and then she ends up traveling with him, that he says to her, you know, how much did your scarf cost?
Oh, right.
Did it cost...
I forgot which movie you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, did it... And you know, and he said, did it cost about this much? And she doesn't want to admit it, but you can see, like, yeah, he's hit it on the money. He said, that's more than the money that I needed to save my daughter's life.
Yeah.
That's more than the money it would cost for her medication. And for me to be able to afford her medication, I had to do this and risk my life to be able to give her a better life. Because... literally, he had been blacklisted from his jobs for all these reasons. His wife was working two jobs as servers at kind of a shady place, to the point that, like, the media were painting her as a prostitute.
Yeah.
And you know, working paycheck to paycheck and still not being able to afford actual medication for their daughter when she had the flu.
It's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they got to vote on anything.
No.
And then you have, like, the guy that who runs the podcast that he goes to, and his little sister is
has got cancer,
and she's got cancer because of what the network are polluting the air with.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
corporations don't get in trouble, and that was, like, his whole thing about, like, reporting stuff that the corporations were doing, and that's why he couldn't have a job.
Yeah, and it was, you know, and it was the whole thing that, like, this network owns the government.
Yeah.
So they own the people making the health and safety regulations, and therefore why would they even ever need to abide by health and safety regulations?
Just like Idiocracy.
When they can change it. Yeah, just like Idiocracy.
Yeah, where they buy the FCC so they can just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
FCC? Whatever, yeah. The one that controls food and drug. Food
FDC? And is that what it's called?
Whatever,
I don't know.
Is.
I can't remember. It's American.
Yeah. It's... there is a lot of, like, revolutionary, like, you know, what is he referred to as? The initiator?
Mm.
Like, a bunch, which is hilarious because he's like, no, I'm just, like, a guy. And they're like, no, 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 you're, like, the catalyst. And it's very, like, Hunger Games, like...
Yeah, I think I made a note watching the first one that the area, the network, when he's in the network and then he's been given, like, an agent and, you know, whatever, I was like, this is very much like Hunger Games Capital.
Yeah.
That it's like the people who are here in this, like, Hollywood thing are dressing him up to look like this and the way they want it to skew it to their, you know, audience and make entertainment out of people suffering, but make it glamorous.
Mm.
Very, very Hunger Games Capital.
I enjoyed those books.
I didn't read them.
Oh, okay.
I've watched one movie.
The Hunger Games?
Yeah, the first one.
Oh, okay.
It would be weird if I watched, like, the third one.
Third or fourth one.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
He's like, I'm gonna watch Mockingjay Part 2.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that what it's called? Breaking Dawn. That's not a Hunger Games book.
That'd be weird. You just, like, watch a random Twilight movie.
I watched the first Hunger Games and then I watched Breaking Dawn and I'm like, I don't even know how these are connected. Why aren't they, like, fighting each other in this
Why
one?
Are they vampires now?
Why has she got a baby?
Yeah. Why are they in the skull?
What's that werewolf doing to the baby?
Don't ask what the werewolf does to the baby. Or what the billionaire does to the secretary.
The billionaire and the secretary? Oh, right, okay. Right, okay, I got there.
Yeah, she got there. Just like the billionaire did. Is there any more about the movie you want to talk about? Is there any trivia you want to bring up about, like, 87 that we haven't covered off?
I didn't take a lot of trivia. Obviously, I haven't gone up budgets and box offices because one of these movies is still currently
opening
making.
Weekend. Yeah,
yeah. When we're recording this, opening weekend has not happened yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I took down from the first one... was that the when Rob Cohen purchased the rights to The Running Man, the novel, he couldn't figure out why the rights were so expensive because he was like, Richard Bachman's not really a well-known or prolific writer. And then he was told, obviously, that it was a pseudonym for Stephen King. But when the movie came out, it still wasn't well-known at that point.
Yeah.
Which is why it's actually credited as Richard Bachman in the credits of that film. But yeah, I just thought that was very funny. And then for the remake, I took down two things. Well, one was that I already said that Edgar Wright had said on Twitter that Running Man was the movie he most wanted to remake. And the other one, I just thought this was a really fun fact, which is that when it was announced, or when Glenn Powell was cast in the remake of Running Man, Tom Cruise called him because they had worked together on Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
So Tom Cruise called him to give him some advice. And this is the quote from Glenn Powell. Glenn Powell says, "Tom rang me to give me the lowdown, and what I thought would be a 10-minute call lasted at least 2.5 hours. He basically told me how not to die. He also gave me running lessons. He said, you should film yourself running because you don't look as cool as you think you do." I love that coming from Tom Cruise,
yeah.
Because well known that Tom Cruise runs weird.
Yeah.
And obviously does a lot of running in movies. And the fact that this guy's cast in a movie called Running Man, he's like, oh God, Glenn's going to have to run a lot. I need to tell him, please record yourself running. See what you look like when you run. You don't look cool. I just thought that was funny.
Because there was a guy who did a short recently that I've watched a couple of times of how people run. Famous actors run and he's doing Jim Carrey and stuff like that. And who was the guy who died? He was a very funny comedic actor with Kevin Spade a lot.
With Kevin Spade? Do you mean with David Spade?
David Spade.
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley, yeah.
Kevin Spade. I thought you were going for John Candy first, and then you said Kevin Spade.
Yeah.
And confused me.
Yeah, sorry.
Chris Farley.
Because he also had
iconic run.
Yeah. Which is usually followed by falling over.
Mm. What about John Heder? That's what my dad runs like. Like Napoleon Dynamite.
Never seen your dad run.
Well, if you do, watch me. Runs like Napoleon Dynamite. This is a running joke in my family, so no one's going to be offended by me saying that.
A running joke.
Oh, a running joke.
The running joke.
The running joke.
If you've enjoyed this episode, or the movies, you should share it with somebody to ignite the revolution.
So start a zine. I'm going to start a zine.
What the hell's a zine?
It's basically what they do in this movie.
Yes, I forgot what a zine was for a second because it's not the early 2000s.
I was
again.
Like, what's happening right now? What do you mean Zine Fest is ongoing here in Wellington? Genuinely, there's an annual thing called Zine Fest in Wellington.
Okay.
I know several people involved in it. I should start a zine. To distribute, I'll distribute it, the most efficient way to distribute zines, as we know, is to put them in an open bag.
And then push someone out of a plane?
Yeah. Put it in the arms of someone that wearing a parachute, shove them out of a plane, and make sure the bag is open so they can be distributed over the border of America and Canada, I guess.
Because the plane turned around.
But those zines are going to tell you the truth. I'm speaking up, and I want you guys all to speak up with me. We need to let everyone know the truth. Glenn Powell is AI.
Allegedly.
He's not a real guy. We're going to go watch Twisters, and we're going to take notes on how not real he is.
How many fingers he's got in every scene.
Yeah.
Is there ever a scene of him eating spaghetti?
Oh, yeah. Did he eat in this movie?
I don't remember.
I don't think he eats.
He must have at some point. No, he
definitely walks around naked a lot.
Yeah.
They did a whole sequence where they were like, and now he's wrapped in a towel, dangling off a building. Ho-ho, you've got to take the towel off.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I really don't care. I don't think he should have been wandering down hallways in just a towel anyway when he's on the run from people, but, whatever, I guess.
You gotta shout, Lisa.
Yeah, except he saw the guy and knew that he was the guy. He should have put his pants on at that point. He didn't, run around topless, fine. But, put your pants on, man.
Yeah.
Don't be like, oh no, I gotta hide from the hunters. Let me run out of this apartment in just a towel.
A Glen towel.
A Glen towel. That's how you know he's not real. The man's AI.
Allegedly.
I'm going to go... People are going to just send me photos of Glenn Powell on, like, red carpets and stuff, and they'll be like, fake news.
As a child.
I don't think he existed as a child.
Oh, my God.
I think he came into this world fully formed when someone put a prompt into a ChatGPT or equivalent.
Then who was Tom Cruise talking to for 2 hours?
Well, that came out of Glenn Powell's mouth, not out of Tom Cruise's mouth.
True. Thank you for joining us.
Someone call Tom Cruise and say, is Glenn Powell real? Is he a real guy?
You can go to our website. It's ittakes2.co.nz. You can join our mailing list. You can join our social media, including Discord, where you can DM us directly and be like, no, I saw Glenn Powell in real life. And then we'll Lisa may accuse you of being AI.
Send me some evidence that Glenn Powell's a real guy.
Like what?
Or send me some evidence that Glenn Powell is AI.
Okay.
There you go.
Legally stating, this is a joke. thank you for joining.
Yeah, I really think Glenn Powell's going to come for us.
You don't know, Lisa.
I'm going to be silenced. It's like, it'll be like the Running Man. I'll have to go on the run to the Glenn Powell's handler who invented his AI prompt won't be able to find me. Because Glenn Powell can't find me himself because he doesn't exist.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to this episode.
Good luck to you.
We've got Christmas episodes coming up next.
Huzzah.
Enjoy. but yeah, do join our Discord, do check out our website, ittakes2.co.nz, and do share this
with while they're still up.
Other believers.
While we still have social media.
Yep. Before social media censors us for telling the truth about Glenn Powell. Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.